is Data Sound Podcast, produced by the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, a companion series to the blockbuster exhibit, The State of Sound, a world of music from Illinois, now playing at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum.
Welcome, I'm Dave Hoekstra. We're here at the State of Sound Studio in the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, and our guest, we're doing all Springfield today, and our guest is the great Mark Kessler, the co-owner of Recycled Records, one of the best record stores in the Midwest at 625 East Adams? I can't even read the card. Springfield, just a couple blocks away from the museum.
About
2.5
blocks.
Yeah, so you could come see the record store and then come and see this exhibit.
You could, or you, if you come here and want to buy some stuff by some of the artists you see here, we have most of these artists we have covered.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been coming to your store for a long, long time. I always tell people I've got, my family, my mom's side of the family's from Taylorville, so I know a little about the store. But tell the listeners about the store, the history of the store, the furniture store, in your own words. It's your family's furniture store, right?
It is. My mother's mother and father opened the furniture store in this location in 1910. My mother, who passed away, as a little side note, she passed away about 12 years ago at 92, and she worked in that building for 75 years.
Did she really?
Yes.
Did she?
And it remained a furniture store with my grandmother and grandfather and my mother. When she married my dad, which is right after World War II, he joined the store. I had an aunt, my mother's sister, and her husband worked in the store also for a while. And they then left and opened their own store in another city.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and we remained that way. I used to think it was fun to move Haida beds and stoves and refrigerators.
Yeah,
I kind of outgrew that. That was when I was like 10 years old. And
what were your parents' names?
Grace and Bill, Wilbur, but he went by Bill. And my grandparents were Ida and Sam, or Ida and Joe Katz.
And did they all work at the store?
Usually there weren't five people running around in there, but yes, they did all work at the store. As a matter of fact, I think my cousin, whose father was the other one that worked in the store, actually has the original front door lock and fancy one that came off the store.
It's two stories.
It is two stories and a full basement. Had a rope-pulled elevator in it, which all of my customers think is a torture chamber upstairs because all of the wheels are left in it. Because I think everybody's afraid to take them out because we're not sure they're not holding up the building. So we've been there a lot. I could be blindfolded and do a pretty good job walking through that building. It's been a very long time.
Did they sell music there?
No music. We started selling
players or anything.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, they'd sell like a Webcore console stereo. I wouldn't call that high fidelity, but yes, they did sell those. But and then it got to be where the store is really too small to be a furniture store. At the time you were having to compete with places like Wick's. And the giant outlet stores couldn't do it.
Was it the same thing that happens in a lot of American cities of this size? Did a lot of the stuff move to the outskirts of town?
I think it did.
They call it the Walmart thing. But
yeah, you know. I mean, I doubt if you're not probably. Are you familiar with Barney's Furniture?
No.
It's no longer Barney's Furniture, but my second cousin, and that was my grandparents' first cousins owned Barney's Furniture, which is where the convention center was. It was on Washington Street here, but the buildings were all down when they built the convention center, and they owned that store.
Yeah.
So
when did it transition into the record store?
I think it's been about 40 or 42 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I've been telling people 42 years. I would have to look at when I got my business license, but I lived in Oak Park for 10 years.
Up by us, yeah.
Yeah, well, by you. And yeah. I worked in lovely downtown Maywood. I'll probably get in trouble for this. That was for 10 years. And then I moved back here. And I didn't want to be in the furniture business when I moved back here. And my parents were getting older. So we took over half of the second story. We put a big tie-dyed curtain across so they could still store excess furniture in the back. And then we built record racks. And then we got more records. And then we took the tie-dyed curtain down because we were doing less with furniture. And eventually we took over the whole upstairs. And again, once again, we outgrew that. So we started moving little by little because my mother was starting to push back a tad about you're taking all of my furniture away, which we weren't selling much of. And eventually we just took over the whole second floor too. And
now, I don't want to bury the lead, but one reason we're doing this is you're closing down the store.
Yeah, we are.
In March or April, I keep
it. March 31st is the date we've kind of set, but I mean, we own the building.
Okay.
So if we were to say we'll stay open until April 30th, I don't think nobody's going to throw us out. But if you don't set a date, you'll never quit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have tears in my eyes when I walk out of there, but I'd rather walk out than be carried out.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be 74 this month.
Oh.
In like two weeks, I'm going to be 74.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And I just don't want to be, I'm working probably, I don't mind, I love it, but I'm probably working 50 to 60 hours a week.
I saw you this morning. Well, late this morning. You said you started at 7 or 8 or 9.
I get in there between 7:30, yeah. 7:45 to 8. But that's the only time I can get book work and stuff done. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I've got regular cut. Well, I knew you'd be there, Mark. Can I come down?
Yeah.
Now, if I know them, it's fine. Then I let them in. But it's the only time I can sit there. And the guys, I got really good help down there, or I wouldn't be still in business.
Tell us about Sky. I'm just like riffing here, but this is a slice of life on a Monday morning in Springfield. So Sky and that Sky the dog.
Sky the dog.
Comes in with that guy, and you had the thing from Korea. That's a good story. So tell what that guy was buying.
He was buying an antique booze that had never been opened, but he collects antique. I don't even know what kind this was. I'm not a drinker.
Yeah.
It was some kind of whiskey. It was either scotch or bourbon or whatever choices you have. It was brownish, and the bottle had never been opened. And it was, I don't think it was that old. I think it was 70s probably. But it came with the guy. The guy had passed away. He was 88, and he passed away. And I still had, and it went with the bottle, the Korean jacket that he had, the colorful jacket with all
the war.
Yeah.
The Korean, yeah.
And in the bottom of that box was a folded-up note that this was for the last remaining member of whatever group he was fighting with in Korea.
Isn't that something?
And that's the bottle they bought, and he was the last one. And he passed away, and I guess the people who were responsible for dissolving the estate had no idea what to do with it, so they brought it to me. Now, I'm not an expert on any of that stuff, but this was just cool. I mean, the jacket was cool. The having the note in there, I think, was priceless.
Of course, yeah.
And the fact it was sealed. A couple people have told me it's going to taste awful. I'm not a...
So the guy with the dog, this guy, he was buying it, right?
He was buying it. He did buy it.
Why did he want it?
He collects it.
He collects
it. He'll never open it. I doubt if he'll ever sell it.
Not the jacket.
Not the jacket. Yeah. He wanted the liquor. He would have paid the same thing with or without the jacket. But what was I going to do with the jacket? You know, it should have gone to the guy's family as far as I'm concerned. But that.
So you get a lot of that? I mean, do people come in with stuff for you?
They do.
I'm sure people come in with records. But they come in with other stuff.
I had a couple jobs when I was in Chicago. I was a comptroller for two hardware stores and a heating and air conditioning company in Maywood. But then I also own a place in Maywood called Cash Incorporated, which is the first time the Hunt brothers drove the silver market and everything went crazy. Uh-huh. I owned Cash Incorporated and was buying gold and silver in Maywood. So the fact that we buy gold and silver down here now is kind of an extension of that. And I've always been into antiques and stuff. I had friends who used to do the Hilton Antique Show on South Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
And I'd help them set up. So I just put in stuff I knew about. I may be wrong, but if you buy stuff and sell stuff that you actually know about, you'll be fine. You know, if you start buying stuff you don't know. I don't know fine art. I'm not a doll expert. Would I buy them? I would if it was cheap enough, but I'm not going to pay real money for something I don't know a lot about.
So let's do a visual tour for the people listening. I'm always enthralled. I still like vinyl, so I always go upstairs. The upstairs is full.
So does everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So upstairs is full of vinyl. I had the last number I had. You could correct me on this. I have 70,000 items inventory of LPs, CDs.
Oh, I would imagine. I usually take them separately. I think there's 25,000 to 30,000 LPs upstairs, although I haven't counted them this morning. The CDs are way down because I'm getting rid of them as fast as I can. As soon as they take CD players out of cars,
yeah,
the writing was on the wall what was going to happen to CDs.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, there's there's been a resurgence of cassettes.
Yeah.
I mean, I called a guy. There was, I can't remember who it was. Courtney Barnett has a new CD coming out.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I won't tell you his name. I don't. Anyway, I said, I don't have a lot of people that buy. I got one other guy that buys it. I called this guy and I said, you want this new Courtney Barnett thing? I want to make sure I have enough for the couple people that want it. It comes on CD and cassette. He said, I'll take the cassette.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, but he's collecting a lot of cassettes. It's a very good, one of my very top two or three customers. And
I took a picture of some of those cassettes.
He spends quite a bit of money with me, and you would enjoy his record collection. Is awesome.
So what are you going to do with all this stuff? Now, are you off? Every time you see me, you ask if I know anybody who wants to buy a record store. Are you serious?
I am serious. No, you know, I am serious. I am definitely serious. It is for sale. I have mentioned it around here, and I've had two or three people interested. I had a guy from New York interested, but he was kind of a personal friend before this started, so it wasn't like it fell out of the sky. I don't think any of those are going to work.
They would buy it lock, stock, and barrel? They would just take the inventory?
I told him if they didn't. Well, I have a couple local people that will buy the building, but that still means I need to empty it.
Yeah.
I've told the people that looked at it, if they didn't want to deal with the jewelry, I could put that in a suitcase and take it away and adjust the price. Because not if you don't know something about jewelry, you're going to get hurt trying to run a jewelry store. And some to some degree with some of the antiques too, but not the music. I've had people say, well, I want to buy your albums, all of them. I said, that's fine. He said, I'll do it over a year and a half. No. You can't cherry pick them. I can't do that. I mean, I'll end up with a. I have told people that are interested that I would work for them for 6 months for minimum wage because I want them to be successful.
Really?
They don't want me to, that's fine. I'm not mean to pat my own back, but I think it would behoove them to have me be in the building for 6 months if they, you know, I can teach them who the customers are that can take a receiver home and try it in their house and not worry about them running to Alaska with it, you know, and who you can take a check from and who you can't. And I think I could be of help. I just don't want to do any book work.
A lot of places do online sales. Are you active online at all?
We are not nearly active enough online. That's because I'm old.
Uh-huh.
And I am not, I mean, I can get my email and I can send you a text, but I mean, I'm very limited. If one of you said, I'll give you $100 to download a song, I'd have to talk to your A number one engineer over here. I have absolutely no idea how to
download. So looking at your card, do you have a website?
We do.
Okay, shout out the website then.
Recycledrecords.com.
Okay.
So people, as a matter of fact, for all the recycled record stores in the country, we are the only one that has recycledrecords.com.
Now, you have a brother, Gary.
I do.
And so you guys are all in line with, he doesn't want to keep it going.
I wanted him to buy it.
Yeah. Is he younger?
I'm an equal opportunity seller here. I mean, he is 5 years younger than I am.
Yeah. So he'd be, he's okay with it being 69. Sold too?
He says he wants to retire.
Yeah.
That's fine. As long as he's good with it, that's fine. I said, you can buy it. You can probably buy it cheaper than anybody else. I just don't want to. Now, he's the one person I don't think I would offer to work for minimum wage for 6 months.
So let me close my eyes. Tell me how old you were, your earliest memories of the store. Like, how old were you?
Probably 6, 7, 8.
6 or 7, 8?
Yeah. And
what year would that put you in then?
I was born in 1947, so say 54, 5, 54, 6.
55. So let's move forward a little bit to like the late 50s.
Yeah.
Tell me what downtown Springfield was like in the late 50s.
Downtown Springfield flourished in the late 50s.
Okay,
it was awesome.
What was it like? Were there like soda shops, diners?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about what it was like.
Well, there was the building next to me that is now an art gallery was Sears and Roebuck.
Okay.
And then it became Western Auto.
Uh-huh.
And then it became the Department of Rehabilitation for the state. And then it was vacant for 20 years. Because they had a fire in the computer room in the basement. Now it's an art gallery. And then there's a little alley in the middle of the block. You can take a right turn and go right on that alley. On the other side of that alley was Norman's, which was a lunch shop. They had little tables. I can remember it, so help me. I can't remember my name half the time. Minced chicken sandwiches and hot fudge sundaes.
Really?
That was our treat when my mom would take us down there. That's what we had all the time down there.
Really?
And when my mother passed 12 years ago, you lost a real piece of history because she could tell you where everything was in the whole downtown. And I didn't. Across the street from us, which is now on the east end of it, is a marijuana dispensary.
Yeah, right.
But the rest of the building is pretty much vacant. It was DECA and Commerce and Child and Family Services for a while. It had 800 state employees in it. Now it's virtually vacant other than the marijuana business. But that building, and I didn't know this until last week, my brother found a picture of it. It was called Bressmer's Department Store. And it was on the corner right next to us. There's a vacant building on our corner now. And it was Stearns Furniture. And I knew the Stearns family. I never knew that Bressmer's was on our side of the street on the corner in that building.
Really?
Yeah, I never knew that.
Have the changes downtown influenced your decision to get out of the game?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they have. I want to retire anyway. I don't. Whatever I say here, and anyway, I've been the biggest advocate for downtown Springfield. Maybe not the biggest. I've been right up there with them.
Right.
I mean,
I've always
talk up downtown Springfield, but it has gotten. I think it has to do with government. It has to do with the state of what the courts will let you do and not do in regards to like panhandling and homelessness. And the state of the economy. You know, downtown wasn't great 2 or 3 years ago before the pandemic. That came, nobody's working downtown. Yeah. It used to be we had people setting up on the mall here with food trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of people downtown. Now you can come down and park wherever you want.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through this whole deal truthfully, in the wild days, I mean, you could get a date on most downtown street corners.
Yeah.
Not that far back.
Yeah.
I mean, not recently, but yeah. I mean, say 15 years ago. Absolutely. But there were people. You come out at noon and it wasn't Michigan Avenue, but it was two-way traffic on both sides of the street. There were a lot of people coming out of those buildings. We lose 800 people across the street. The art gallery used to have 400 people in the Department of Rehabilitation.
Yeah.
That's 1,200 people on one block.
So I bet people would come in during the week, like during lunch hour.
And lunch hour.
That makes me think of my dad. My dad worked downtown. He worked for Swift & Company. And he'd walk over during his lunch break. He'd walk over to Rose Records and buy records.
Yeah. You know, you didn't see him, I don't think. I've got two catalogs from Rose Records sitting on the counter.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. I don't have much money on them either because I need you to buy them.
I'll have to come back and get that.
You might. They're pretty cool.
Are they?
Yeah. I just got them last week. But,
really?
Yeah, they are cool. Well, he reopened, didn't he, after he moved out of downtown?
He might have, but I don't think they're open.
Did.
I don't know.
I don't think there's anything around there. He's got to be 110.
Yeah. Well, Tower Records came back too, but Tower Records also is coming back with an online thing.
Well, see, that's I'm telling people that are interested in the store. If you're a computer guy, there's enough stuff in that store you can make a lot of money. I mean, you need two computers and a couple guys who can put more than four items a day on eBay, and you could do just fine. I don't do that much. I do some stuff. You know, if it's something I don't think it's going to sell locally. My rule is if I get something really good in, my regular customers get at least 30 days, if not longer, to buy it. Because I don't want somebody to ask for something And so I have one. I bought it yesterday and sold it on eBay a week ago, or in the next week it's going off. Yeah. That's not fair. I mean, my bread and butter are the people that walk in the door once, twice, three times a week and spend money. And if I have a $400 microphone, they ought to have a chance to buy it. Yeah. Now, likely it's going to go online, but sometimes somebody, if I sell every good thing online, people are going to say, well, there's no sense in going in there if it's good. Yeah. He's going to sell it to, you know, some guy in New Mexico who you don't have any idea who he is, as opposed to the guy that spends $100 a week there.
Yeah. Off your top of your head, celebrity clients, like somebody coming in, appearing at the Illinois State Fair, like Charlie Daniels, would he have ever walked in? And you have musicians, artists.
Well, Willie's sister, Willie Nelson's sister.
Maybe I asked you about this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she comes.
Bobby?
Bobby comes in. I mean, she's the piano player in his band, as you know, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
She buys jazz albums, and she'd always pick out jazz albums and say, hey, you want to trade some of these for, you know, two front
some
row
reefer.
Tickets? Yeah. Well, that's off out of my category here. You're trying to trap me now. She had a better chance, actually. But I have traded with her once or twice for a couple of tickets at the game. I've had...
They must have played the State Fair a lot, right?
Oh, must have been 10 years in a row.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we had Al Jardine in the store from the Beach Boys for probably 6 hours one day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He wanted... We had a restaurant here. It's called Coney Island. It was hot dogs. You remember it?
No.
Okay. It was not very far from here, really. And actually, it was right where the presidential library is where it was.
Oh, wow. There you go. There's some history.
Yeah. And where you are here was the police station.
Yeah.
And Coney Island was over there. And he had a giant rack of antlers on the back wall. I had Al Jardine's address and phone number. He said, get that for me and ship it out to my ranch in Colorado. Well, that never happened, but it was kind of... We've had Don Everly was in the store.
Oh, Don Everly.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic, anytime he's in Central Illinois, comes in the store.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of... I tend to leave them alone. I mean, some of them like to be bothered, and some of them don't. Tommy Chong was in the store. Now, there's a piece of work for you. What a great guy.
Yeah.
He was upstairs pulling customers over and saying, buy one of these albums and I'll autograph it for you. I mean, everybody loved him. He'd done a stand-up thing at one of the clubs here in town.
Well, I've been to a lot of record stores. The volume is just pretty overwhelming. It's got to be one of the biggest ones in the Midwest, right?
Well, I think it is. Yeah. We do quite a bit of business, certainly in the Midwest. Indianapolis, even Minneapolis, Kansas City, St. Louis, Omaha, St. Louis. Yeah, I get some from down in Tennessee, Memphis, and Nashville. I forgot one of our best celebrities is Marty Stewart.
Oh yeah, well I can see that.
He looks exactly like Marty Stewart.
Yeah,
he was quoted in the a friend of mine cut this out of the Decatur paper. He said the best thing about playing in Central Illinois is being to shop at Recycled Records.
Really? Yeah.
Which I thought was just super cool.
I could see that.
But he's got a pretty good record collection, I think, and he buys a bunch, he spends a couple hundred bucks, but the whole time he does moan. Well, can you do half price?
Well, that's what I was trying to do today with my podcast.
I said, how many gold records do you have, Marty? He's a really nice person.
Yeah,
he is a really, really nice person.
Yeah.
Weird Al Yankovic shops every time he's in Central Illinois at our store.
So what are you going to do if you can't move all that stuff out? I mean, what are you going to do?
Everything has a price.
Everything has a price?
Yeah. Everything has a price. The hardest thing is to stop buying.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm going to worry about after Christmas.
Yeah.
But people put them down, or I go to a flea market. Oh, I could sell that in the store. Well, all of a sudden, I'm not going to have a store.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm still buying. I've had to try and convince people of that frequently in commercials that I do or in print. You still read Goldmine? I think there's going to be Well, there's going to be a mention about this store being for sale in Goldmine. And I'm kind of hoping that, being it's a national publication, that kind of feeds what I'm looking for.
You're speaking to your audience there.
Yeah. So, well, I was trying to do it without having to open the checkbook a bunch, but I think we got a better shot if I can hit people in L.A. and New York and New Orleans, you know.
Couple more things, and we'll wrap it up. Thanks for coming over.
Oh, no, no. My
pleasure. You didn't have to travel far, unlike some of our guests.
No per diem for me.
You're talking about looking for stuff and finding stuff. Over the years, what's some really rare albums, some rare items that have come? Let's keep it to music. Just rare music that's come through the store. Like a really, really hard find.
Well, there's a Buddy Holly. Before his albums were under Buddy Holly, it was Buddy Holly and the Chirping Crickets.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they have a Chirping Crickets EP, which I don't know today because I haven't seen one in 15 years or longer. It was listed in the price guides for around $1,600. We had an absolutely pristine one come in. My brother still has one. We've had a couple of them. I sold one and Gary took one home, I think. But most of the really expensive albums seem to top out. I don't have any of these $12,000 albums. I have a lot of albums in the $800 and $900 range. I've had, and some of them are because they're stereo instead of mono, and some are because they're mono instead of stereo. There's a Beatles album over there in stereo now that I can't remember which one it is. I'm getting old, but I've got like $1,200 on it. If it was mono, it'd be about a $300 album.
You've got great country stuff upstairs. Well, I wonder if that reflects the area at all. You know, I mean, like
I think it does.
Working class area. Again, I'm thinking of the coal miners
you're,
and Taylor.
You're in the heartland. Yeah, right, I mean, yeah. You get 30 miles outside of town at somebody's house, and it's what you're going to find. And I can tell you that 35 years ago, or 25 years ago, I had to come out and bought 2,000 country albums. They were like hotcakes. Yeah. And now they're not as much.
Last
but
time, before this, I got some Jeannie C. Riley there.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. No. I definitely, we, the one thing about the store is we don't, it's not a rock and roll store. It's not a country store. It's everything store. I mean, everything from Churchill speeches, which people laugh at us. You know, what are you going to do with all this historical stuff? But I'll tell you what, you drag a history teacher upstairs, and there's all kinds of stuff that they don't even have. Now, they may not use it on the record. They may play it and put it on a computer, but it's there. Bobby Kennedy speeches.
I saw a Walter Cronkite thing I almost bought today, Walter Cronkite stuff. And
all right,
you got some great baseball stuff.
Baseball stuff.
Unfortunately, a lot of it's St. Louis Cardinal LPs. But.
Well, there are, you know, but every time I get a Cubs LP, Jack Brickhouse LP, had that. Yeah. And I mean, they sell. I sold two Cubs programs out of the window.
I saw them in the window. Actually, you know what? I was walking around last night.
I saw two of the three.
Today, right? There's only one left.
There's one left. Yeah, the one that's left, I think, is the one people are missing out on. It's the one that I sold were both in the 60s. The one that's left in the window is 1953. The two in the window that I sold had no bends or folds in them. The 1953 one does have a couple folds in, but the first thing you do when you buy a scorecard is you fold it in quarters and put it in your back pocket.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, that's what you do with yours when you go to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, so when they get old enough, you can do really well.
Yeah.
You know, Cubs are, well, after they won the World Series, I mean, they almost got bigger than the Cardinals here, but I think it's gone back the other way since they mortgaged half the team away. And it's so much closer. I love Chicago, but I can be in downtown St. Louis in an hour and a half with virtually no traffic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
St. Louis is nice. I've gone, Euclid. I go to Euclid Records there.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He used to buy all my jazz. You know, he's got a shop in New Orleans.
Yeah, he does. I've been to that one too.
Yeah.
But I go to Euclid a lot in St. Louis.
No, he's a good guy.
You've been to Euclid and Garrett? It's nice. Yeah.
It's a good store to go to.
Yeah,
it is a good store to go to.
So really the last question, but a big question, what are you going to do in retirement?
Well, I was thinking about being a Walmart greeter, but they seem to...
You'd be good at that.
I know. I'm kind of a people person, if you can't tell. But I think they've kind of done away with Walmart greeters, so I'm not sure.
Were you serious? Would you like to do something like that?
I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, all of my really good customers keep reminding me that, you know, my dad quit his job and died 2 weeks later.
Yeah, right.
I've heard that I don't know how many times, and they don't mean anything bad by it. But after a while,
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm not deep in your wheelhouse, but every time, here's what I think you're gonna miss. Every time I go into the store, it's like what I saw today: some guy walking in with his dog with a story. I think you're gonna miss that engagement with the people of Springfield.
100%.
Yeah,
but I'm employable. I mean, the other thing I could do if they give me flexible enough hours to do it, I could work as a counterman in a pawn shop. I mean, you know, I could raise their record collection to a new level.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm capable of that. You know, I can buy and sell gold. I know about a lot of different things they're selling in pawn shops.
So let's say I see you a year from now. Okay. Next,
What am I going to be doing?
I mean, how are you going to feel when you walk by that building's been your family forever? How are you going to feel when you walk by and it's empty?
I'm going to be fine. Well, I don't think it's going to be empty.
It'll be something.
I mean, I have told people, and this will ring true with you, but when you come out of the convention center or you come out of either of the two large hotels in Springfield, which are not large in Chicago, but they certainly are large in Springfield.
No,
one of them's 30 stories and the other one's like 12.
And they got that new Starbucks.
And the new Starbucks is damn near world class. Excuse my.
I was there this morning. That's
it's
nice.
It's pretty much it's not Michigan Avenue, but,
no, but
it's pretty nice Starbucks.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
The first thing they see is down our block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody says, "Well, downtown, we don't have much here. We don't." I said, "Well, if you're right here, they see you right away. You can get in. They can spend their travel money before they get another block down the street. So it's the location is good.
And I think Springfield has done, you know, we've been down here just by coincidence a couple times when there's stuff going on. I mean, one time we didn't know what was going on. You had the Route 66 car festival.
Awesome.
And they were right in front of your place.
Oh.
And you were open late that night.
We stayed open till 10 at night for that car show. But then we're a store that is selling big boys toys. And these are people that have $50,000 to $100,000 cars or more.
I tell people if they want to come and visit the State of Sound and come and see you, you can wrap a weekend around coming to Springfield.
Oh, absolutely.
I tell people, we had Terry Hemmert on the show from XRT on this, and you know, she's such a Beatle fan. You go to that Sergeant Pepper Diner or whatever it's called, Sergeant Peppers.
And
I know the guys at the Cozy Dog.
There's a diner here called Charlie Parker's.
Yeah, were there this morning.
Yeah, you had their three pancakes, did you?
I haven't had that done this time.
You won't do it the next time either.
Food makes me drowsy. But, I mean, there's a lot of cool Americana-type things to do in this town. There really are.
You know? There definitely are. And if you happen to be like horses, we have a lot of – we're not Keeneland, but, I mean, we have a lot of horse shows out at the fairgrounds. They've redone the horse arena out there. It took them a year and a half or 2 years. Because they had a horse arena that wasn't even air-conditioned, and it is now.
Yeah.
So they get some giant horse shows. I mean, the American Quarter Horse Show. I mean, I don't know a lot about horses. It's a good venue for that kind of stuff.
Well, great. Give us the details again. Just all the, you know, who, what, when, where, the address, the hours, all that.
We are at 625 East Adams, which is catacorner from what used to be the Hilton, and it's a round 30-story hotel. So you can see that.
Well, we can say it. Well, you can cut it out.
I don't know what you
I don't want to say it.
I didn't either. I didn't either. But
I got in trouble to sometimes one time. But, I called it. I wrote about it being the penis of the prairie, and then we got in a big fight. But
yeah,
it's 2001 now.
But at least you can see it from 55.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I tell people, just look for the tall, round building. It's the only 30-story building in Springfield, and we're catacorner across the street. We're a half a block from the old state capitol building. We're two blocks from this wonderful building here, the Presidential Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I saw you looking at the exhibit. Did you like it?
I think the exhibit's awesome. If you haven't come down here to see it, I'm sure you all love Abe Lincoln, but if you like music, you need to come down here. Even if you don't look at the Lincoln stuff, you need to look at the music if you haven't been in here before.
Yeah, we're really proud of this.
It's very, very nicely done. It is a very, very cool exhibit.
And you've spent some time in the Chicago area, and we were saying we don't think something like this has ever been done. I mean, the Chicago Historical Museum Chicago History Museum now, they did a side exhibit on history of Chicago blues, and Chess does its little thing with its studio, but no one has ever done a whole comprehensive look at the music of history in Illinois, you know?
There is another one, if you're willing to travel a little farther from Chicago. They have a blues museum in St. Louis.
Yeah, I've been to that.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty neat. Yeah. And it's not the end of the world, but it's pretty neat museum.
I've been to that. I did that when they first opened, but we're really proud of this.
Lance
did a great job.
So, it is.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks. I'm glad we got to do this. I wanted to shine some light on Springfield because you're right here, so people can do a twin spin. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah, twin spin.
Come see Recycled
Records. Two turntables. Yeah. We just go from one to the next.
State of Sound.
Folks, if you need a record store, come see me.
Okay, thank you, Mark Kessler.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening to the State of Sound.
This has been the State of Sound podcast produced by the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. To hear other episodes and more information about the exhibit, The State of Sound, A World of Music from Illinois, visit musicfromillinois.com.